Hi, I'm Harriet Thomas, and this is There's a Walk for That. A few years ago, I went looking for adventure. What I actually found was the end of years of back pain, a body that finally fit my clothes again, and something I never expected, a personal wellness sanctuary right outside my door. I'm not a doctor or a fitness expert, just someone who discovered a daily habit that revitalized my health, my emotions, and even my sense of purpose. From easing stress to shrinking your waistline, there really is a walk for that. Join me as I explore the power of walking with inspiring guests and offer tips to help you make walking a fun, transformative part of your day. And you'll get to enjoy our trail mix, three songs chosen by my guest that reflect their attitude to life and passion for walking. Welcome to the show. Today, we might seem to veer a little off the familiar path of walking and well-being. My guest is Mike Mullins, a leadership coach and spiritual retreat facilitator. Through his business, Soul Rewilding, he helps people reconnect to the divine in nature. Our conversation covers the spiritual and political aspects of our relationship with the natural world. And if you're wondering what this has to do with health and well-being, consider, since the beginning of recorded history, religion, medicine, and healthcare have been intertwined in all human societies. Only in recent times, and largely in the most developed nations, have these systems of healing been separated. Modern research is now catching up to what ancient traditions have always known. Spirituality, that deep sense of connection to something greater than ourselves, is linked to better mental, emotional, and even physical health. Perhaps this explains, in an ever more technological and atomized society, the growing popularity of the Camino de Santiago, the ancient 500-mile pilgrimage from France across northern Spain, where people find simplicity, connection, and a link to the sacred. Whether you follow a particular religion or are simply exploring your own spiritual path, walking can be a way to connect to that sense of the sacred. With Mike, we'll explore walking with trees and get step-by-step instructions on how you can actually start talking to them. Sound a bit woo-woo? I'll also share some of the science that backs up the Japanese art of forest bathing. And hopefully even the most skeptical of you might start looking differently at our ancient friends, the trees. It's my belief that any walk can be a pilgrimage, a chance to reconnect to the sacred. And that is my invitation to you today. As you listen to Mike, consider how you might deepen your own sense of connection and joy through walking. Who knows? You might, like me, even find yourself talking as well as walking with the trees. Hello, Mike. It's great to have you on the show.
Great to meet you.
Why don't you tell us about your work, what you do, and maybe something about the role that you feel nature plays in your life and in all of our lives?
Yeah, sure. Well, I grew up in rural Wiltshire in the 60s, and we lived in a small village on the edge of the Marlborough Downs. And my memory of that was that we had about an acre of garden, an orchard, lots of moles destroying the lawn, lots of bees, squirrels. I mean, it was the whole place was alive. And there was a chap opposite me who used to go out hunting at night. Actually, he was a poacher. He used to go out hunting rabbits, and he taught me how to, at the age of six, how to skin a rabbit. I grew up just surrounded by nature, actually. And then, having gone back there in the last 5 years, all of that has gone, you know. So the garden's been built on. No more moles, no more bees, no more trees. So that's one, I think that's one aspect that struck me, is the loss of nature. You know, we've tidied things up.
A parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to to go, that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
Ooh, ba, 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 ba. Ooh, ba, 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 ba.
They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. And they charged the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Seem to go, that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, farmer, farmer, put away the DDT now. Give me spots on the apples, or leave me the birds and the bees. Please, don't it always seem to go, that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
Ooh, ba, 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 ba. Ooh, ba, 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 ba.
Late last night, I heard the screen door slam. And a big yellow taxi took away my old man. Don't it always seem to go, that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
Ooh, ba, 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 ba.
I said, don't it always seem to go, that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
Ooh, ba, 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 ba.
They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
Ooh, ba, 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 ba.
They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
The incomparable Joni Mitchell with Big Yellow Taxi. So we left Mike face to face with the destruction of the natural environment he grew up in. And we've all had moments like that when a place we loved has been built over or changed beyond recognition. Maybe it's more subtle, noticing there aren't as many flies or bees or butterflies as there used to be. So what did Mike do next?
Maybe about 5 years ago, I got involved in Extinction Rebellion, and I also got involved in CCA, Christian Climate Action. I got arrested at one point. I was involved in Just Stop Oil for a while. I did talks, and I think I began to realise that actually protest wasn't enough, that actually there was a deeper question, a spiritual question that sat at the heart of the ecological crisis. And that is, I would sum it up by saying human exceptionalism. We as a species think that we are better than any other living being. We've got this innate desire to see ourselves as unique and special. And I suppose a question I would ask is, what's the effect? If you tell yourself you're special, how does that affect your relationship with the world? And I think what it does is it undermines empathy. It means that we don't think about other sentient beings. We other them. We don't get curious about them and about their experience and about their contribution, and also about how dependent we are upon them. We are part of a family of beings, of living beings. Soul rewilding is all about that. I think we need to develop a new spirituality of humility and a participative mindset. So that's where I'm coming from. So I don't think, so protest isn't enough. I think we need to radically shift our spirituality, our way of relating to the world. And unfortunately, I think what science has done, the worst aspects of science, is that science has turned everything into an object. And we've lost the enchantment of the world. Yeah.
There's so much of that I relate to with what you're saying. In my own experience of walking, I've sort of gone through various stages. And the final, well, I don't know if it's the final stage, but the most recent stage has been walking as protest. It's been walking as revolution, as it were, or resistance. Mm. Because the more I walk, the more I see how it counters harmful aspects of modern life. Mm. You know, whether that be being sedentary, being glued to social media, caught up in this very human world, which is obviously bad for us because, you know, obesity is soaring, depression is soaring, anxiety is soaring, heart disease is soaring. So I sort of feel that walking is the answer.
Mm.
But, and I think it's interesting what you said about otherness, because I think that otherness is something we do to each other as well. this atomization of society. We're even othering ourselves. Modern society is, it's interesting what you say about science, because I feel that, for example, in medicine, there's a lot of medicine that is, oh, you're sick, take this pill. And it's like the answer is this pill. But the real answer is at a much more systemic level. Mm. So I think it's very interesting how, from an appreciation of the degradation of nature, you know, your journey into this much deeper questioning of how are we living? And do you think, for example, that things like the rise in anxiety and depression and so forth is related to this separation from nature and otherness?
Yeah, definitely. I think the way we're heading is it's only going to get worse, because we, in a way, what we're doing is we're denying something quite fundamental, and that is we are animal. We are animals. I mean, I suppose that's the other danger of human exceptionalism, is that we're denying our essential nature by exaggerating how different we are.
I think that's it. I think that's often when I think about walking and as it were, the benefits of walking, I think, well, this is what we're designed to do physically. We evolved walking, but we also evolved walking in nature. We evolved connected to this whole system. And of course, we are part of this system. Without air, without the earth, without water, we can't live. So it's patently obvious how connected we are, and yet there's this strange story that we're not, that we buy our food in the supermarket and it's not somehow related to the rivers.
Well, you just look at the definition of nature in Oxford English Dictionary, and it's you know, everything apart from human beings. It's like it's fascinating how we define nature.
Yeah, and I guess the whole sort of rise of AI, I mean, I suppose that, you know, that's always been happening, hasn't it? That kind of thinking of humans or artificial intelligence and human intelligence as somehow being mirrors of each other, like we are actually a binary system that isn't connected to nature.
A lot of the metaphors we use are mechanical, are computational, and they bear no real relationship to the reality of who we are and our relationship with nature and with the earth.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I'm Harriet Thomas, and this is There's a Walk for That, the show where we explore the health and well-being benefits of walking and share tips to make your daily walk a fun, joyful, and revitalizing experience. Today, I'm talking to Mike Mullins from Soul Rewilding about our disconnection from nature and how that affects both us and the planet. If you can, sit back and relax, because Mike is about to share the amazing story of Otto the Octopus.
I mean, AI is fascinating, and I'm sure it has so many possibilities, but I think what is rather sad about it is there's such a tremendous interest in the potentiality of AI, and yet I'm not seeing any interest in the intelligence of beings who've lived on this earth for millions of years, you know, like, you know, the intelligence of dolphins or whales or orca or corvids, you know, crows or ravens. I mean, only now are we beginning to recognize how remarkably bright and intelligent other animals are, and that they have their own language. You know, I was just reading recently, for instance, about crows who have words for different types of cat. You know, they would, when they call out, they will be talking to each other, and they'll say, "There's an old cat, you're okay, you're safe," or "There's a young cat, watch out, you'll be," or elephants who can describe human beings, you know, tall, short, young, old, you know. So there's a world out there that we've lived with, we've grown up with, we've evolved with, about which we know very, very little, and we're putting all this effort, all this energy into AI, and meanwhile, that wild world is dying. It's a tragedy.
You've really made me see something, which is the story is it's this incredible thing. It thinks so quickly. It's amazing. But as you say, what about these systems that are even more amazing? Sometimes when I go out into my garden, you know, you get to know, oh, yeah, you've got your robin and you've got your blue tits and you've got, you know, some dunnocks and you've got, you know, and they sort of come at different times of the day. And in my head, I'm always like, oh, yeah, they know I'm out here and they know I'll come out here at this time. I've kind of thought that's a fantasy. But what you're saying is it probably isn't a fantasy.
No, it's not.
They know when I'm coming out. But I think it's interesting that I think, as it were, on some level, I was having a conversation with them, but my rational brain is like, obviously, that's ridiculous. They're birds. You don't have a conversation with birds. But actually, you do.
Yeah. I mean, there are stories about crows deliberately dropping nuts on roads so that cars will go over the nuts and break it open, and then using tools, you know, and again, which is another tool use, is another way in which we used to claim that we were separate and different and better. And then one of the most incredibly intelligent animals are cephalopods, so octopuses, squids. And there's, you know, there's stories about, I think he was called Otto, an octopus held in an aquarium in, I think it was Coburg, Germany. And he, in the aquarium, the lights kept on going. It kept on shorting, and it meant that the filters weren't working, the lights weren't working. And after about two or three nights of this happening, the zookeepers decided what they would do is they would camp down in the aquarium overnight and try and work out what was going on here. When they camped down, what they realized was that this octopus was climbing out of his tank and then squirting water at a light that was above him because he wanted to sleep and the light was disturbing his sleep. So that he realized, if I squirt water at it, that will short it and that will turn the lights out. The zookeepers realized these creatures are so intelligent. What must that be like to be an octopus?
I'm thinking about your walking with trees and I'm thinking about my own walking, and we could find ways of having our own conversation with the natural world that we have around us. And so I'd love you to talk a bit about your walking with trees.
Yeah, sure. So walking with trees, so Soul Rewilding, there's about eight of us in Soul Rewilding, and we do a number of different things. One is we run a three-day retreat, which is all about that spirituality question I was talking about, and how do we develop a new spirituality. We also run 2 to 4 hour, what I would describe as immersive events. So walking with trees is one, and then I do another thing, which is a meditative walk on the life of the Earth. So I concertina 4.5 billion years of history into 4 hours. And we talk about the spiritual lessons coming out of that. But walking with trees, what do we do? So that's about 2 hours long. I do it all over Southeast England. I talk a little bit about the history of trees, and they go back almost 485 million years ago.
What? So trees have been here for around 400 million years, while modern humans have only been around for about 300,000 years, and even our earliest ancestors only appeared around 3 million years ago. So in the grand story of the Earth, we are the newcomers. Given that we're destroying ourselves and our planet, whilst trees have lived in balance for so long, maybe there's something we can learn from them. For now, back to Mike.
And then what we do is we talk about iconic English trees, oaks, ash, yew, hawthorn. What I talk about is a little bit about the biology, the history, the uses, but also in particular the spirituality of trees. Well, I mean, I can remember my grandmother who grew up in the Lake District. She was very in touch with the spirituality of a tree. You know, so an oak is a symbol of strength, of courage, of hospitality, whereas an ash perhaps is much taller. There's a sense of it being connected to transcendence, to healing. The ash symbolized the underworld, Midgard, and then heaven for the Vikings. In fact, the Anglo-Saxons used to call the ash the Vikings. They didn't call them Vikings. They called them Ashling. In other words, they named the Vikings after the tree they worshipped.
Jerusalem, performed by Catherine Jenkins.
And I love that one because that's got a connection to the hawthorn tree. So it's based on a poem by William Blake. And in it, it says, "And did those feet?" And it's talking about Christ and the idea that Christ, you know, came to Britain as a child. And Joseph of Arimathea, his uncle, supposedly planted a hawthorn. So the hawthorn is sacred in that sense. So we talk a little bit about that in the first hour. And then in the second part of the walk is I get them to ground themselves, to come into connection with their senses, their feet upon the ground, the smell of the earth, you know, looking around, what can you hear? And then I invite them to think about maybe an opportunity or a question or a dilemma they're facing in their lives.
Does this sound familiar? In episode 6 of There's a Walk for That, I spoke with Sue Mott, CEO of Stepping Out with Carers, a charity that brings health, joy and connection to carers and their loved ones through monthly guided walks. Sue is a former sports journalist, a female pioneer in a male world, not your typical tree hugger. But when times were tough during COVID, she found strength and comfort from a tree she befriended. Or did it befriend her? Here's a little bit of our conversation.
What happens when you walk?
I would say once you've set foot outside your front door, it's the beginning of an adventure and a balm, you know, a deep sense of peace, I think, gradually descends on you, one foot in front of the other. All this different scenery, all these feelings underfoot going on. And you never know what's around the next corner, so there's a mystery to it. And there can be purpose. You can be going to the shops or something, so that's gratifying. But when there is no purpose except to listen to the birds and just look at a tree and wonder about it for a minute. This is stuff, frankly, if someone had said to me when I was 30, I'd have thought it was hippie guff. But I do seriously believe now that nature is talking back to us should we care to listen. It's a wonder drug. I remember when we were coming out of COVID and I used to go for a little totter round up to a local wood, and I adopted a tree and I used to go and just lean up against it for a while, and it was the most replenishing feeling. You were back out there sharing our moment together, me and the tree, and it's always felt like a companion.
So I really want to know, how do I find a tree like that?
Go out and go on a wander, go on a pilgrimage, find a tree that speaks to you. And then before you go into its boundaries, just pause and ask its permission. Treat the tree as living, as alive, as sentient. Then go closer to the tree. And before you talk to the tree about your dilemma, what you're facing, or the opportunity you're facing, ask about it. Its history, its story, its life. Get curious. You know, what are you noticing about its branches or maybe marks or breaks that might tell us something about the life of that tree? And then once you've been curious about its life, then ask the tree about your dilemma and just listen to what it has to say. People say to me, oh, that's just, you know, it's woo-woo. But when people come back and then they share their responses, it's beautiful. Sometimes people are in tears and some people struggle with it. They've still got that sort of scientific rationalist mindset. But the people that can really do it are kids. Kids really, I love it because it's natural. Kids are naturally animist and participative. And I'll often be standing there and you can hear a child of 6 or a child of 7 talking to a tree beautifully. And it's lovely. And it's very healing, I think. Very healing.
And if all this talk of communing with trees feels a little too whimsical for you, there's actually some solid science behind it. In Japan, researchers like Dr. Xing Li and Professor Yoshifumu Miyazaki have spent decades studying what they call forest medicine, the evidence-based science of how time in nature with trees affects our health. Their research shows that simply being among trees can lower blood pressure, calm the nervous system, reduce stress hormones like cortisol, and even boost the immune system. Trees release natural compounds called phytoncides, aromatic oils that when we breathe them in help strengthen the body's natural defences. It's what the Japanese called shirinyoku, or forest bathing. Not a metaphor, but a mindful sensory immersion in nature. And it turns out you don't need to be deep in the woods to feel the benefits. Even a walk in a park or a few mindful moments with a tree on your street can restore a sense of calm, clarity, and connection. So yes, it seems the trees really are talking to us and in a language that our bodies respond to.
I love this idea of just wandering and letting the tree come to you. And then this whole thing of, you know, asking the tree's permission, this whole different way of treating a tree.
Yeah.
As an equal and to be able to ask it a question. I've never done that. Sometimes you have problems and you don't really know who to ask, or maybe you don't necessarily want to have a conversation, you just want to voice it. And it sounds a little bit like a prayer, what you're talking about.
I think prayer is a good way of describing it. I think what it does is it reanimates the world, it re-enchants the world. And we go back to how the world was originally, before the Age of Enlightenment, before the Industrial Revolution. I think many, many of our ancestors had this kind of mindset. I know as a kid, I did as well.
Carries the light of the Lord in his rays, the moon and the stars who light up the way unto your throne.
St. Francis of Assisi, the Canticle of the Sun, where he talks about sister moon, brother sun, sister death, you know, all the, you know, sister water. That's really beautiful.
The Canticle of the Sun, performed by Marty Haugen. I'm Harriet Thomas, and this is There's a Walk for That on UK Health Radio. Stay with us. After the break, we'll be exploring some First Nations wisdom, and you'll hear what happens when I head to my local park to have a conversation with a tree.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
We've made a god of science, and science is great. Science, don't get me wrong, it's very important, but it's only one form of knowledge.
So I feel we're all getting so disconnected, and the result is, as you've pointed out, you know, the ecological disaster and personal disaster or mankind-wide disaster in terms of sort of soaring illnesses and you know, mental health crisis and so on. So we can see it's not working. We can see that it's damaging, but many of us don't know what we can do about it. And what I like about your approach is that it does offer somewhere for people to start. I feel like it's saying, okay, this may look impossible to create a new relationship between each other and between us and nature, but here's something you can do, just you, or maybe you and a friend, or maybe you and your family, or maybe you'll start to be more people. You know, you can go out, you can look at nature, you can find your tree, you can ask it a question, you can start to rebuild those links.
I totally agree, Harriet. I think you summed it up really well there.
So here I am in my local park going for a walk with trees. It's interesting that this is the second of my guests who's talked about finding a special tree. I found my tree. I think it's the mother tree. I think it seems to be the biggest tree in this wood. That's not really why it spoke to me. I don't know why it spoke to me. Something about the shapes of the branches. I don't know, I just feel drawn to this particular tree. It's a beautiful oak tree. It's had a couple of branches cut off, probably because they were growing over the path. It's probably been cut off for health and safety, but it's still very beautiful. And as I walk closer towards it, the bark, it's like elephant skin. I'm just going to look at it for a while and ask it if I can come closer.
I don't know if you can hear that wind in the background there. It sounds very noisy. Here's what happened. As I walked up to the oak tree, the one I felt had called to me, the wind suddenly began to roar around the park and the parakeets like went crazy. And thinking about the way that Mike weaves folklore and history into his walking with trees practice, I did a bit of Googling when I got home and found two things of interest. Firstly, in folklore, the wind is often seen as a messenger carrying voices or signs from the unseen world. And second, the oak has been revered across many cultures as a symbol of strength, endurance, and wisdom. It's often linked with the gods of thunder, Zeus, Jupiter, Thor, those great forces of nature. So there I was, about to ask an oak tree a question and looking forward to its answer, just as the wind began to rise around me. A coincidence? Well, I actually don't believe in those.
So I've asked the tree in my head if I can come closer and ask it a question. And I had a little kind of whooshy feeling in my tummy, and I took that to mean yes. And also the leaves started rustling, and I was like, okay, it's definitely trying to tell me something, or that's how it felt. I'm in an urban park, so there's quite a few people around, and I feel a bit subconscious, but I'm going to go ahead and do it because the tree has said that I can ask it my question. And the question just came to me as well without me thinking about it, and I can share it here because it's quite non-specific. The question is, what can I do? So I don't even really know what the question is, but I'm going with it. So wish me luck. I'm going to go and stand by my tree. I'm going to ask if I can put my hands on her bark. I think of her as a her. I'm going to ask her my question. See what happens. So I asked her how she was, and she said she's fine. This might sound really weird if you're listening. I asked her, what can I do? And she said, just be. And now I'm just standing here. I'm watching the oak trees sway at the top because there's a strong wind just starting and a storm coming. That's quite cool. I feel like that's a sign.
Back in the warm and dry, it's nearly time to wrap up our chat with Mike Mullins from Soul Rewilding. He has taught me so much about exploring a different kind of relationship with the natural world, one that draws from history and prehistory, from myth, legend, and folk traditions. It's a way of seeing in which I, as a human being, am part of an infinitely complex web of life, one that is filled with mysteries and hidden truths. Could this be a way forward in a world where the dominant model of thought has encouraged separation, otherness, and has resulted in dis-ease, both for ourselves and for the planet? Perhaps reweaving that connection is exactly what we need.
I mean, we're in a serious crisis at the moment, and we need to start questioning some of the fundamental beliefs that we hold, which are insane. You know, I mean, one of them is that we're exceptional. Another belief is that somehow growing the economy is more important than life itself. It's insane. We do believe that. Eternal growth on a finite planet is just insane. It's insanity. And it's only because we are disconnected from nature that we can hold such an insane belief. Probably we're coming to a point now in our history where we're going to be forced to change. Our current narratives and stories no longer work. And there's sometimes when you get to that point, you've reached the end of the path with a particular narrative, you kind of have to look back for inspiration. And I think there are people in the past, there are stories from the past, there are ways of looking at the world in the past that we can tap into, revitalize, and learn to live in a different way, tapping into the old stories, the old myths, the old ways of living. There is no better time to be alive. What a time to live, to be presented with this challenge and to have an opportunity to step up to the plate and do something about it and to leave the world in a better place. Wherever I look, I see joy coursing through the world. You know, if there's one thing that informs the world, it's joy. And that's, you know, it's everywhere.
You see, that's interesting. You say joy is everywhere, but a lot of people would say life is so hard, life is this stressful, you know. It was one of the things I noticed when I started walking every day. After a couple of weeks, I realised that I was just I had this feeling of joy because I kept on seeing these incredible, I mean, everyday things, the rain falling on water, a leaf falling down, the shape of a branch, just normal things, right? But it was like I was filling this bucket of joy so that after a while I just had this reservoir of joy, just topped it up every time I went for a walk. That's one of the things, again, why I'm so passionate about trying to inspire people to walk. I find with walking, being in nature, it's a much more deep and long-lasting joy and calm that I get.
Yeah. You talking about walking there reminded me of last year I was in Australia visiting friends, and I went on a walk with a First Nation Aboriginal in a coastal forest north of Sydney. And he got me walking in this forest barefoot. One of the things he said, which is really interesting, so I really loved, he said in traditional Aboriginal culture, they don't trust the head. The head lies. And then do you know what he said? He said, the soul is in the feet. I love that. Because what you're describing to me is how you get out of your head and you get back into your body.
Yeah.
And walking is a way of doing that. So, I think joy is about being embodied. It's about being in our senses. It's about being connected to Mother Earth. It's the universe. And I think joy would ooze out. It's the olive oil, the oil that infuses the universe, I think.
I'm sitting here in the quiet cocoon of my little studio, piecing together this show, and I keep on thinking about that moment in the park, the wind rising around the oak tree and the parakeets calling, and the sense that something bigger was at play. Talking with Mike Mullins from Soul Rewilding has reminded me that our relationship with the natural world isn't just about conservation or well-being. It's about relationship, about remembering that we belong to this living, breathing earth. When Mike said we need a new spirituality of humility, a new way of seeing ourselves as part of a family of living beings, it really struck a chord. Because walking, something so simple, so everyday, can be the doorway into that way of seeing. When we walk with trees, we walk with history. Trees have stood here for hundreds, sometimes thousands of years. They've witnessed everything, the weather, the people, the changing times, and they still keep growing, still keep reaching for the light. It reminds me of the words of John Muir, who wrote, "Between every two pines is a doorway to a new world." I love that. Because maybe that's what walking in nature really is, stepping through a doorway into a different way of being. One where we remember we're not separate from nature, but part of it. So perhaps my invitation this week is to walk a little differently. Find a tree that draws your attention. It doesn't have to be ancient or majestic. It could just be the one outside your window or the one you pass every morning. Pause for a moment. Notice its bark, its shape, the movement of its leaves. Take a breath. Maybe even say hello. Ask its permission to come closer. And if you're feeling brave, ask it a question. One that's on your mind or in your heart. And then simply listen. Whether or not you hear an answer, you might notice something else, a quiet sense of connection, of belonging, and of joy. Because as Mike said, joy is everywhere. It runs through the world like sap through the trees. If only we take the time to stop, to walk, and to listen. So, That's my invitation to you today. Go walking with trees. Let them remind you that you're part of something vast and beautiful. And who knows, maybe, like me, you'll find that the trees have been waiting for the conversation all along. I'm Harriet Thomas, and this has been There's a Walk for That on UK Health Radio. You can find out more about Mike's work at the Soul Rewilding website, soulrewilding.co.uk, and that address will be in the show notes. Next week, in honour of the clocks going forward, I will be talking about seasonal affective disorder and how we can use walking to conquer the low mood and isolation that those short winter days can bring. Until then, happy walking.